as we take the RNA drops and we develop the 144,000 strands of DNA, at that point do we achieve the capability to address the cloud?
You would be able to, yes.
But we have to have the 144,000 strands before we can do
that. Well, now we're not shifting about that. It's going to be a gradual process because we think you already have it. You just want to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. I'm fairly new here, but as you encounter us, can you look at us and tell us each how many strands of DNA we're up to in the process of taking the RNA drops?
Yes.
How many strands of DNA do I have now?
The last time you had a lipid panel, they said you were what?
I have not had one. I have not seen a doctor in over 30 years.
We don't have to see a doctor to have a lipid panel done. It's just a simple blood test.
I don't know. I have no answer to the question.
Very good. Then here we go. If we were cheeky, we'd say neither do we. But we're going to go with you here in a second. We do vellum or a pretty decent linen paper, okay? Something that's absorbent. Can we do that?
Yes.
And the next time you pierce yourself, we wouldn't suggest doing it just for this, but doing a finger prick to get a little drop of blood, or the next time you get something that bleeds, rather than daubing it off, take that little piece of linen or something absorbent and collect that blood. Then you take that blood and douse it or submerge it in a pure muriatic acid and watch what happens. Watch closely what happens. And basically, once you get that information, come back and we'll tell you exactly how many double helix strands you have.
What's muriatic acid?
Muriatic acid is a type. It's not a caustic. We could have done sulfuric, but sometimes that's dangerous with little ones. But muriatic is what you clean your swimming pool with.
You can get it at Lowe's or Home Depot.
If William or whoever had the lipid panel, how could you tell from that? Because people can get their own lipid panel without a doctor's script from requestatest.com.
Sure. That's
so
exactly right.
That.
Do one before and after, compare it. You'll see a huge decrease in your triglycerides. And your HDL will hold tight.
So triglycerides, they get elevated when you aren't properly processing your sugars. That would be the super sugar, super processing your sugars.
This is William. I just wanted to mention that I found over 22 different super sugars that have the word manna connected to it. So already in science, they've established like ace manna, a different kind like mannitol, a different kind of manna variations.
You're
well. Already connected to that. Mm-hmm.
But they aren't what we have, which is C122H197098. That's super sugar.
What he's reporting, Bob, is that the android mean is embracing this information so that the blithering idiots can embrace it and go, whoa, let's get that all along. This isn't even foreign. This is the way it always is. How wonderful. Let's embrace it.
But Ion, isn't all sugar anyway just carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen?
That's the formula for sugar, yeah.
So what would be the difference between a simple sugar like a monosaccharide and just the potential of information flow, or how does that work?
The number of carbons in a dextrose.
122, oh. William, 122.
Yeah.
Who has
well,
that? Nobody has that, William.
But how could silicone not be an important variable if that's the case? Because like silicone, like with fiber optics and stuff, it carries information so fast because it's connected to carbon.
You're confusing the storage tank with the pipes going to the tank. They don't have anything to do with the storage in the clouds. You're not trying to get a pipeline to access the clouds. That's the trick. If you don't have to have Cat 5 to make it work, then it will work. If you have to have a fiber optic something, then it may not be enough. So you want access to the cloud without any wires or fiber optics or monochromatic schematry.
Are we talking about the pure awareness?
There is no awareness. Drop that concept. No such thing as awareness.
There used to be cosmic awareness. Used to be. They all died, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they blew it all up. Hey, we got Mr. Libby here, which JW had a question about. Mr. Libby, what would you like to say about RNA drops? What have you been printing lately, posting about us, and address it to Ion?
The movie, the Ion, the movie that Tony Scott was supposed to be making?
Ridley Scott's brother.
So is that like an unfinished creation of Tony Scott?
No.
So it's in the process of being finished? What did you say?
We say it's already finished, but you may not know it is that. But we say it's already completed. So it will be completed.
One of the JWs got the title mentioned. It's one of the JWs down there in San Diego, they put the title in, got that in there?
Did not say.
This is the only show in the world where you can jump from talking about molecules to Tony Scott in like 2 seconds.
On June the 15th, something very peculiar happened in Germany's electric market. The wholesale price of electricity fell to minus 100 euro per megawatt hour. That is, generating companies were having to pay the managers of the grid to take their electricity. The bright, breezy Sunday, demand was low. Between 2 and 3 p.m., solar and wind generators produced 29.8 gigawatts of power, more than half the total. The grid at that time could not cope with more than 45 gigawatts without becoming unstable. At the peak, total generation was over 51 gigawatts. So prices went negative to encourage cutbacks and protect the grid from overloading.
Is that June 16th, 2012, or 2016? When did that happen, Ion?
This June.
Coming. There you have it, guys.
Coming.
We experience the future.
What's the best water we can buy on the market? What's the cleanest water?
You don't know clean. Sewage is better.
Daniel Libby, what's your next question?
The suicide of Tony Scott, did he actually, scout the location the day before or whatever, like a few days before when he saw the bridge or whatever? I had a question because I probably already know the answer. It's like if every death is a suicide, then obviously it's a suicide. But
you can ask if he went to another world. Maybe he didn't transition to the guff.
If you want to research a suspicious murder, look into the death of Heath Ledger. And the last movie he made when he was hanging upside down, dead in the movie, and then he died over in the light.
Yeah, Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah, exactly. That was a pretty interesting case, then.
Ion, the individuals who were, well, let's just use the word responsible for Flight 370 going to a parallel world, do they have any concern or is there any interest in attempting to cover up something in this world? It just appears to be a lot of anomalies
around. They're not interested in covering it up. No. This world is desperately interested in trying to, well, they're ridiculously trying to do it, but they'd be better off just leaving it alone, but they just can't do it.
Sure.
They must prove something, which is proving the case even more concretely. They think they doth protest too much.
Eventually, some country is going to dump a lot of debris in the Indian Ocean, including life jackets and flotation devices, etc., just to try to bring closure to it.
Well, they're trying to, it's what they call dead waiting on a disease to claim the body, yeah. So when they closely inspect it, they find out quickly that it was not from that plane.
Daniel, are you taking your drops? Did you stop months ago?
No, but I'm almost done this. I had this mini bottle that's pretty much almost done. Yeah, I think I finished today, actually.
How come you haven't made a video updating your site talking about your probing of the substance?
Well, I just haven't posted it yet, but I was thinking I was going to maybe just post a bunch of updates.
Have you been knocking the RNA drops lately somewhere?
No.
Okay, that's the rumor that JW picked up.
Don't knock the drops. There's cash in every splash.
Ion, are you familiar with the movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Would that kind of
be a metaphor for what's going to happen with the cloud of glory?
No, it's not. It's too clever to have. It's not like a some conscious position you're trying to attain. It's something you move to. You won't have to get a shiver or a shake or and then you have it, the way the movie lays it out. It'll be more of an easing, just a serendipity. If you were comparing it between the Damascus Road and the Emmaus Road, it most absolutely would be one found on the Emmaus Road.
Is that way around or the shortcut?
Long road.
Michio Kaku, the doctor, I forgot his name, Michio Kaku, he wrote The Future of the Mind. I was listening to him today, and he says that your mind can turn on devices mentally.
But you can't figure it out. You have to think about it to the point where it won't work. Yes. Your mind can. Your mind can make your heart pump. But if you had to think about it, you'd probably send yourself to an AFib.
He was just talking about future things where there's going to be something called like a brain net where you can tape record your memories and insert it like into your
hypothalamus,
yeah. And other people will be able to access it, like your memories, your feelings, everything.
Oh, like the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
Okay, here's a question for
you. Hey, are you going to ask about Anthony David?
I don't know who Anthony David is.
Oh, they were all creaming their panties about Tony Scott, so we were just going to go with it a little bit.
No, I was going to ask about the winds that are blowing a storm around me tonight.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
It's around you, darling. Let's go with the winds blowing and stop right there. Don't do the semicolon and Bob will let you play. The wind have been released from the four corners. They've blown before. It's a new wind that now comes because you're in a reset position of washing or notice it's funny. You have a little rain, you have a little this, you have a little that. But then you haven't started your pollen season yet. But yet everything's sort of blooming. Have you noticed?
You don't have pollen. Is this a replay of January 12th? January 12th, 2011, the wind started blowing all over the place. Is that what you're saying is happening again or continuing from then?
Would be a continuation, yes. Fire makes its own wind. Also found in Sheila's new painting she's working on.
Does this have any correlation to the upcoming blood moon?
Of course.
Is the blood moon that's coming up in a couple of weeks coincide with the imminent AMP?
No.
But there is an event or some sort of happening that will coincide with that.
Yeah.
At some point in eternity, Susanna, don't count on this EMP to happen in your lifetime.
Well, the timing of the blood moon, Ion said there is some correlation with something going on.
There is.
Robert?
Some correlation with something out there, somehow. Some way in the dark night, there's
very
a wind
good.
That blows.
William's getting close, Ion, so he smote him.
I'm sorry. I'm doing a bob on him, that's all.
And you said you don't expect an EMP to happen within your lifetime, but if we're expecting to live eternally forever, what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to live for eternity? Have you got that locked in? You sure?
Yeah, haven't you?
No comment.
And I was part of the four winds blowing at some point that you were talking about, Bob, with Ashley and Duffy and Terry and I were in some... You know, we called in to cash flow, and Ian was so great and said, yeah, the four winds are blowing today. So now when we segue to Sheila, they're doing it again in her world.
No, yeah, it's not her world. That's the problem. You think it's her world?
Oh, Bob's world. Bob's world. Sorry.
No. I don't know what world it is. Not her world.
What
okay.
are four winds? I mean, is that something that was defined in rewrites?
Yes, that's in the angel diagram.
But we didn't actually know of it when it occurred. It wasn't like when Ian talked about it and told us the four winds are blowing today. Rewrite, I don't think it even happened at that point.
No, rewrite was happening since this was January 12th, Rush Limbaugh's birthday, 2011, and we had been doing rewrites since October 20th, 2010. our rewrite activated the winds. The rewrite session, because the Bible was discussed in a way it had never been discussed before. It was accurately talked about, and that triggered everything, including the Arab Spring a few days later, January 25th, 2011. Everything happened in 2011, which was the Prophecy 2012 events, but they happened in 2011, was triggered by our rewrite group, because the words were said accurately about the Bible for the first time.
And we must have been some periphery scenario that was going on based on the rewrite group.
So no, you were engaging cash flow.
Yeah, that's true.
September the 9th or October the 8th with the blood moon.
Okay, look.
Sure.
But wait a minute. He was talking about the blood moon, and the other woman that brought up the blood moon was asking about some upcoming event that's connected to the blood moon, and then he just mentioned the dates. So, Ion, is there anything else you can tell us about the blood moon? And
the distance between the harvest moon, September 9th, and the arrival of the hunter's moon, the blood moon, on October the 8th would be a very interesting segmented bit of timing.
That's when Carol will be getting her award in Washington. That's when Carol will be in Washington dancing with the senators as they will attempt a major infiltration move.
Is that it, Ion? Dun, dun, dun. Part of it. Are going to be other things that we will notice?
Oh, yes.
Will it be a happy thing that we'll be so excited about?
Or you're not here to make you happy?
When it makes Sheila happy, that's all it's going to be.
Okay, will it change the way people view their reality?
Yes.
Sarah from Gummoland goes, fuck this! Update from Sarah.
Oh, yeah, just north of Kuala Lumpur, yes.
Can you differentiate the difference between kundalini activation and orgasm?
There is a difference. That point of release, not coitus, but the point of release, is the very place where that deference occurs.
Ooh.
You are separating yourself with information through a ejaculate. Okay, but now sperm is not ejaculate, but sperm is inside ejaculate. The part that says your body to release ejaculate is the part that causes that divergence.
You said the harvest is the same as expanding the poles like electromagnetic?
Even if you're shooting blanks, you still score the board.
So without ejaculation, the coitus without ejaculation...
It's very frustrating, and you go to bed with blue balls. We don't suggest it.
Yeah, we don't do that. That's for the Taoists.
That's right.
You said that things were going to be ramping out, and I was wondering if you would describe some of the things we might be experiencing because of that.
The winds is a good part, a good place to start. The winds are blowing out. Now, the winds flying kites this spring of the year is not odd, but you might not sustain a kite of late. You'll notice.
Chewing on the thumb.
Sustained winds.
Hey, Ion, it's Roseanne again. I have a question on the Renew. I haven't used it in a while, and I'm not hearing much about it, but is the Renew evolving like the RNA?
It most certainly is. Actually, spectacularly so.
I'm wanting to go back on that, I guess, and use it. What is the best way to use that?
Well, it depends on the application. If you're putting it on your face, we'd say take a drop and go under each eyelid. If you're having saggy issues with your dermis, any kind of bulk, blah, 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 of course, apply it to that. A new thing that you want to do is put on the back of your earlobes a drop. On the back of your earlobes.
What does that do?
It'll try it. Don't believe us. No, it would do that too, but that's not what it's for. Try it. You'll see. Don't believe us. Hell, you hadn't believed us yet. Why don't you start now?
You have to get all the nukes and crannies.
Could we use the RNA drops to do the same thing behind the ears?
You could. But there are benefits. But now you got to realize Renew is not RNA drops. It's very different. It's the essence of it, but it's very different. You have the equivalent of at least 100 bottles of RNA drops to make one bottle of Renew. And that's why we say use a tiny, 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 tiny bit. You don't need a lot of it. You just need a little bit.
Well, I would like to explore the winds more. Ian, you mentioned it's a reset. Can you explain that more?
It's a reset. It's a part where you have enough information to do it, and you haven't done it yet. So you got to reset. You know that rag that you just adore when you're rubbing something out that you're redoing? You sketched it, you made it out, you got it, and then you rub it out, and you go, no. Well, that's a reset. So basically what you're doing is in your cleanup, you're resetting the parameters, your parameters of your ascension. And a reset then allows those winds, which are now kicking up again. You remember well all through the revelation of the winds and how they'll apply with the vile judgments and the trumpets. Listen, are you capturing the winds? Are you foretelling the winds? Or are you foreboding the winds? That's our question.
Ian, can you describe the difference between foreboding and foretelling?
Do you have a definition?
Foreboding, fearful apprehension, a feeling that something bad will happen.
Foretelling.
To describe something before it happens.
So, Sheila, what was your answer?
Describe the difference between foretelling and foreboding in relation to the winds.
For some, it will be their doom.
Okay.
The winds are blowing very, very strong in Georgia today.
They are. Everywhere. That's a good one. When God's chariot comes.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, they want to reach this God status, but, you know, for me, coming from a Semitic background, it's hard for me to hear that and not think like, you know, I know the verse from Jesus where he says that we are all sons of God and this kind of thing, but what is your idea of, like, the creator? Do you hold that idea, or is that something foreign to you?
Without the ascension, no one would be listening to Jesus.
But I mean, do you believe in, like, one creator of all creation?
Everything that's in your world you created, you God.
So you don't believe that there's an external creator?
You are the external creator. You separated yourself from God when you fell. Congrats.
Yeah, but I can't create anything. I mean, I can barely manage myself.
But you do. You do. Everything that's in your world you created, or you wouldn't have it. Every good thing or bad thing, every fucked up thing you've engaged in your life so far, you single-handedly created yourself. No one else, only you.
You don't
That's
follow
more
the
powerful.
Old Testament.
We can take you through the books of Moses further than you've ever been.
So, I mean, just ask me directly, though. So you don't believe that there's, you know, the creator of the Old Testament that gave the prophetic messages and things like that?
Yes, we absolutely
okay.
do.
Okay. Because I know there's a lot of people out there worried, like, hold on, every time they hear, like, you know, God ascension type, you know, that kind of terminology becomes very delicate for a lot of people
it's
that have been brought
delicate.
Up.
It's not delicate. It's bullshit. They had to haul the bones of Joseph out of Egypt so they could find the RNA strand. They drug that through the Ark of the Covenant. They had to build some vicissitude to hold the power that they separated from themselves. They had to make a box to tote around the gold. To cover, to hold the power, because that's where they came back to God from. If you take your Old Testament and you actually apply it, it's exactly what we're saying. With examples and hyperbole to get you through the roughy, bumpy parts, down to already who qualifies, even King David not being allowed to enjoy his own shoebread. He was the king for him. And he was not allowed his own shoebread.
What do you think about those who say that it's a possibility that the prophet Joseph was Imhotep?
We don't care. Imhotep is nothing other than an errant stepchild of an ungodded pharaoh.
But, I mean, his writings were prominent in the medical treatises of Egypt.
Yawn. I mean... Teddy the First could fuck himself, but that didn't seem to make the paper either, eh?
Well, I mean, a lot of people said that, you know, because of the Emerald Tablets. I know I've heard those discussions. on your website.
The
connection between Thoth and Imhotep, they say that most of the writings are actually from Imhotep. So, you know, I always made the connection that because Imhotep was considered to also interpret dreams, and then there was kind of details, and he was also very non-mystical in a sense. They thought that he was the prophet, Joseph. Some scholars pointed that out.
Ignorance was a bird, so, and the bird is a word. And you heard the bird is a word.
Getting back to something more tangible, like a two-part question. The physical and the spiritual body, what's the bridge between those two?
There is no bridge. The only bridge, when there is a bridge, is before the body receives a soul. Then there is a bridge allowing the stenographer to connect. That's the only time in a fallen state where there is a bridge. That is just before you have received your stenographer.
So the soul and the spirit, you identify those as two different things?
We do. We have.
Scientifically, I mean.
A soul is a stenographer for a body. A spirit is the ethers in which the ionosphere is contained, or non-physical.
There's no structure? The soul doesn't have a structure?
It does not.
But then how could it be a soul?
It neither spins or toils. It only records. So a recording MP3 player with unlimited RAM is also a soul. Yes.
Okay.
Just a recording.
But what's containing that in the body?
Nothing. It's not contained in the body. It's about the body.
So what's contained about the body?
Nothing.
You're not identifying the soul with anything other than just the word itself? I mean, there's nothing there?
It records all your creations, manifested or not. And when you transition, it sends your unmanifested creations to the GUP for little Johnny B., little William to hibernate with.
So, I mean, you don't see.
It's why your babies come forth cable ready.
In my idea, that takes away from the whole objective of life, that if you have a heaven and a hell, you have
life. There is no life. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There's only eternity. Right. You are the only hell your mother raised.
Right. Me, personally, I believe in the heaven and the hell. I believe in judgment.
Well, good, but who's the judge? Who is your judge?
God. I mean, my actions are going to judge myself, but there's also going to be a consequence, I believe, for my actions.
Well, of course there is. That's your creation. The action is your creation. That's right. That's right. It's your realm. It's your world.
That
is
parameters to that.
Wait a second now. You can't be eternally in parameters. If you can't be God, then the God you serve may not be either. Hold on now. Jesus said, these things on earth I've done, and you will do greater things. So either that part applies or not. Are you going to leave him on the cross? You know what the cross is for. It's just to remind you the rings and arms on the cross on to get you back to God. Every marriage supper, every blood of the Lamb, every issue that's come up all through the raging scriptures, the church from Laodicea all the way through Corinthians, was to bring you back to a place to remember to find yourself contract before a living sovereign God. To bring you to a place where you can come to the place where you come back to your place that you left. Your first love. Your first position. The part that you came forth from.
The prophetic message is a little bit different than that, though.
Oh, really? Engage us.
Me, personally, I'm a Muslim, so I read the Quran. And I used to be a Christian. I was raised a Christian, but I converted to Islam. My understanding is there's prophets that came to reveal to people to worship only God, and that there's a consequence in life for our actions. So that brings, you know, on the day of judgment, we will be judged according to what we did in this life. That's my understanding. The prophetic message from Moses, from Adam, from, you know, Ezekiel.
Well, you came from Abraham. It's from Abraham. It's a monotheistic. It's from Abraham. We like Abraham.
Have you read the Quran?
We wrote it.
Read me the first verse in Arabic.
Oh, we don't do parlor tricks, darling. We're sorry.
Come on now.
Wait. William, you can laugh, but you wait. 2 hours from now, Ian will do it when you won't expect it. See? He doesn't necessarily do it right when you want it.
Setting me up.
Yeah, you've been well set up. You got set up when you became a Muslim. That was your first setup.
Well, be easy on me now, Bob.
No, I say that to anybody. This is the end of the beginning. So one does not adopt religion for any serious purposes. You only adopt religion for social game playing, for fun, for debug your neighbor.
Well, I mean, for me, it's only a personal thing. I mean, I really bring it up. I brought it up on this show because I always hear the word God being used in a context like a personal enlightenment.
No. You never hear that from us. We're not here to turn your lights on. There's nobody home at your house with the lights when they're out. No. We're talking about physically Allah. To physically become the essence of Allah. That's what we mean.
Now, that's me. I don't believe, because I believe there's a creator.
You are the Yahweh.
No, I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, I believe there's a creator who created humans and spirit.
Why didn't he do a better job? If he did that, there's an outside creator. Why didn't he tell you? Why didn't he the prophet? Why couldn't he just tell you? If he loved you enough to create you, why couldn't he tell you?
He did.
Why didn't he need an outside prophet to tell you to get honey from the rock? Why did you not have confidence enough that you had to smoke the rock with your staff to make water come out of it? Why didn't you have enough confidence and faith in the power that was within you to let the water flow from the rock? There's punishment phases that judge you speak of so vehemently. There's a judge, all right, but it's going to be you, and you're going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
We know.
I mean, it's going to come down to truth. I'm not trying to debate with you or trying to make you believe what I believe.
No, you won't, because we know.
A little more enunciatedly.
So you are saying that there is no prime creator except us.
We are the creator. The prime creator is you. You're so much God that you separated yourself from your power. And you fell from grace. And in that fall,
that was
the goal from the Garden of Eden is to get you back to the Garden of Eden, back to God.
You hear me out, Ian. That's the same arrogance that Pharaoh gave to Moses.
The reason Moses stood before Pharaoh is because the children of Israel asked to be put into bondage. That's the only reason they were in Egypt.
Well, I mean, you know, that could be...
Well, I mean, the taskmaster, he was bad to us. Oh, we asked him to be our Lord and Savior, and he wouldn't. And so then when we wanted to leave, he got all cross with us, and we'd already given him our very vestiges of all that we have. You can't ask someone to be your slave master and then say, no, never mind.
Well, there is a sign, because in the Quran it says that Ramses II was left as a sign for people of all ages. I've lived in Egypt for 6 years. If you go there, you'll see the Pharaoh has his hand up and his body's been preserved, but he's never been mummified. So it's like it's a miracle that happened there.
Yes, and there's a great big mountain that's upside down, too, where it was turned upside down. We know. We've seen it as well.
No, but the challenge of Moses and the Pharaoh was Pharaoh said, bow down because I am your God. But then when he asked Moses, who is your God? Moses says, my God is the one who created all things and then guided them. So he put the intelligence inside of the creation.
But we say that the creation is not the essence of the creator. The creation is not the essence. It's the same thing we were talking about, the pipe and the tub. The pipe is not the tub. The creation is not the creator.
But if you're saying you're the creator and you're actually the creation, where does that put people listening?
You're not the creation. You are the creator.
Then create something.
So everything that's in your world, you create. You created.
I mean, we're talking about real creation.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, happily, you got a whole brand new goddamn world in your solar system just this week. You're welcome.
Thanks to Iandom, Mr. William, sir.
Thank you, Ian.
You got the drops, you got the Coldplay, you got other things happening that Ion is causing.
You got a whole new world this week. A whole new world this week.
You bring your Allah in here, and let's have it out between I and Allah. And I know who
it's
going to be in.
That's crazy.
Who's going to be
sick.
Yeah, but Ion is
Allah
you.
In the corner, Ion.
But you have to realize Ion. Also that the word Elohim is the same as Allah, because the word Elohim, the word Elohim, it's spelled with an A.
Tie them all together. Ion is you. Or is there.
Great.
You guys, you little people, you guys haven't got the William to bring
Hello,
Pam Malik in here.
I'd just like to say that some people out there, they think of God as something more than just, you know, someone getting on a radio show and professionally creating plans. I mean,
oh, that's all right. Who's this? Yeah, 14, yeah, that's a God. I went 6 days without fucking sleeping, man. That's a God.
Who is that?
None of your business. What? He has more guts than you. He's walked in here with a fucking religion, and he's taking on Ion. Like, see, you do that, Allison, you fucking metaphysical humanist coward. Now, go ahead, William. You have the stage, and the rest of you back off. It's between William and Ion.
If I've got the brass knuckles on.
Let's go back. We're not trying to convince you of anything, okay? Mm-hmm. All we're trying to do at the end of the day is for you to come back into your place of power. That's it. If you do that, wonderful. If you don't, we say that's okay too, because it's going to be over for you soon. That's what the prophet said. You're going to wait for your judgment, and you'll be judged, and that'll be the end of you. No problem. We agree. So if you go that route, it's going to be over soon. Okay. If you like that, I'm for that. We support that. There's a lot going to go out. We say get happy or get out is what we say. And that's right, though.
When you drop your meat sack, where are you going? If you're the creator, you're going to create your next life.
No. Your next life, there's no next life. If you're eternal, your religion says you're eternal. So what part of eternity do you begin again?
So you're going to live in the physical forever?
Absolutely.
So I'd hate to attend your funeral, man. I wouldn't want to see that day happen.
You won't.
This is not JW, William. This non-physical doesn't have a meat sack. It's trying to have a meat sack.
Okay, I understand.
It's trying to. It's trying to merge with the physical because Ion's days are numbered. We don't need the non-physical, and that's what Ion's telling us.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But, Ion, you're saying also you're going to create your eternity, right?
You don't create it. You already have. You already have. That's like saying, so what you're saying, Ion, is you're going to create your body. The one you have, yes, you already have.
No. I mean the reality of your body and what you're going to do.
We're not talking about reality. We're talking about real live eternity. It's not a surreal or a residual position.
Mm-hmm.
Something in the woo-woo. This is in the sweet by and by, the dirty here and now. And it's real. It's right.
So
if
a drone swoops over your house and happens to bomb you, and you're dislocated from your meat sack.
Hold on, you won't be.
Oh, your arm breakable?
You won't be. No, you're not unbreakable. Watch. How is it they have mudslides, and everybody is gone, and then all of a sudden, a week later, they dig out somebody who's alive, and they make it. How does that work? Oh, you want to do a little fatalism in William Shakespeare. Oh, it wasn't their time.
What's your take on Zachariah Sitchin? Because I have done extensive research into his research and his books.
Extensive research? That means you read a bunch of fucking books. Let's not exaggerate. You read. You stayed home because you were too fucking weak to play football and to do anything because you don't believe in creating, so you fucking read a lot, okay?
I'm sure Bob's Winding Staircase Library is superior to everybody else's. But what's the deal with Zachariah Sitchin? I mean, I know I've seen videos of him as like a high-level Freemason and stuff. What do you think of his work?
In the house of Potiphar, when they are looking for the fall from the Templar Knights, from the fall of the original inception of a deity, as it were, they decided to move it outside themselves and symbolism, the same place where all the other secrets are hidden in plain sight, just as you compare a game. Another example of how you are to be able to come back into your place as God.
Now, an interesting fact, I find out that the Anunnaki, that's nowhere in any of the texts themselves. It's they use the word Anunna. The word Anunnaki comes from a word called Dur-Unki, which means the bond between heaven and earth. So there was a lot of contortions and distortions, and it seemed to me after reading all his books that he intentionally distracted the people. And if you read his last, I think it was one of his last books, it wasn't his last book, but it was the book called The Book of Enki. And he talks a lot about, like, elixirs and the Ma tablets. And he tries to, it seems to me that he was digging for something.
Is it paperback or is it papyrus?
I know this was cuneiform. He was translating cuneiform, but he wasn't really a translator. He was just, you know, someone compiling information, in my opinion, and just cross-referencing and writing his own books and his opinions. But he was considered to be, you know, like a big researcher in the field. And he's been a main influence in influencing people to believe, like, there's this alien race that's coming and, you know, Nibiru and all this stuff. But the research I've done has shown it's all false based on the cuneiform
tablets. Well, you're
right.
You're right, William. However, what they were prophesying was iron, and I'm going to play that later tonight. Iron and green.
Dun, dun, dun. Iron 2.0.
Iron in the Matrix.
You have no idea.
Because they want to get people to believe that everyone was created by these, you know, these so-called...
We don't want you to believe anything. There's your trouble. You believe in things. Quit believing. No. But all this dog is something to put... You're right. It's a false premise. Don't do it. Don't engage it.
Yeah, but even the word mana itself in Hebrew and Arabic comes from the word amana or amanu, which means belief.
No, it is not from that. The original Greek is not. When you go back past the ancient Samaritan Hebrews, you're going to find that mana is the sustenance that was given. It was not a belief. They did not believe in mana when it was in the desert. They didn't believe it. They ate it. They consumed it. They didn't believe in it. They wanted to hoard it, but it would rot and fall. But the word itself is wrong.
The word itself is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not the word
itself. No, because the word itself, then you said, comes from something else. They make something else. And the next thing you know, it'll be a Tony Robbins thriller. Get over that mess. It's a bunch of bullshit. That's what you need to know. Shoe bread is. Okay. You'll see. And that's whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want it or not, whether it suits you or not, it really makes no ever mind. We would really like you to be happy. If you're happy, great. If you're not, get happy. And whatever else you need to do to achieve that nirvana, that'll serve you well. But isn't that then what the prophet said, actually?
Yeah, to be happy and to love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rules.
But you don't. You don't. So there's your trouble. So if you're not following him, you're not a very good Muslim, are you?
Hold on now. Jumping to conclusions.
You don't.
Oh.
You're assuming you're making an ass out of you and me.
Oh, well, we're glad you showed up.
It's too much presumption here. If you can really access non-physical, I'm going to go ahead and hit you off with a question.
What
are you talking about?
You are accessing non-physical as you're addressing non-physical, asking non-physical if non-physical can go run get non-physical for you.
I'm just playing the game. I know I'm accessing non-physical. Okay.
Right.
But I just, rhetorically, I just want to put it in this, frame it in this way. To see if he's really accessing this kind of information, I don't know. There's a specific bean out there that contains all four of the nucleic acids in the triphosphate forms. What is that bean called?
No, there is not.
Yeah, there is.
No, there is not. The hydrated lysine is not included in your bean.
And this bean is mentioned in the cuneiform texts.
Congratulations.
You hear that? The hydrated lysine is not included in your bean. Did you get that, William? It's a secret.
I didn't say lysine. I said bean. Bean. B-E-A-N.
We said hydrated lysine is not included in your bean. You said there's a bean that has all four those particular nucleic acid amino acids. And we say, no, it's not.
I'm telling you, there is a bean out there called the mung bean. Look it up. And I can even drive you to the database. It's called the Agricultural Database, ARSGRIN.gov. You type in mung bean and go ahead and look. You're going to find all four of your nucleic acids.
You reveal it. Yeah, but it's not an air hydrated.
It's the bulkhead of my research that I've done recently, and I just wanted to see if you accessed that. If you had specific information. It's important because there's a lot of nutrients.
Ask him about the mung bean, William.
How much polysaccharides or manna is inside of the mung bean?
How much iron is manna, polysaccharides, in the mung bean?
It doesn't matter. I was just throwing it out there. But anyhow, go ahead and eat up your mung beans because it does have all four of the nucleic acids in it.
If you take your drops, we'll eat your mung beans. Fair trade?
I promise.
Okay, you eat my mung beans, I'll take the drops.
Send some over.
Look, Bob, I'll make a trade with you. I have a product called Codon 64. I'll give you a bottle of my product for a bottle of your RNA drops.
We probably could do that. Email me at ion@howionic.com, okay?
Okay.
That is so messed up. I just asked Matthew if he would trade me drops because he doesn't have any for sale, quote-unquote, and he said he doesn't have any at all now. So how are you going to trade with somebody when I can't even pay money for them?
Because I have an important product that means something.
If William's got something better than Ion, I'm with William.
It's the enchantment factor. Look, Ion said you do not pay. Creators do not pay for their product.
Azuki. We were after the Azuki.
Not the Azuki bean. Mung bean. M-U-N-G. You know those Chinese transparent noodles? And everyone's like, how did they make them? Well, that's made from the mung bean. The noodles that are very transparent, they eat in China.
Is that true, Ryan?
That is true. The cellophane noodles, yes.
Hey, we have some agreement between you and Ion right there. I think we can build from that.
Non-physical yields to the Islam God.
The Islam God is the same as the God of the Jews and Christians and every other.
It's the same as you. Yes, we yield to you and your pathetic beings.
I'll send you some jelly beans there.
Hey, William, I'm reading the chemical breakdown of this mung bean.
Okay.
It's M-U-N-G-B-E-A-N-S, correct?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm.
From Iraq. And it says they're rich in most essential amino acids, especially lysine, but they're deficient in methionine.
Methionine. That's not one of the nucleic acids. Are you accessing the agricultural database of the United States? ARS-RIN.gov. That's the Dr. Gene.
Oh, he doesn't like your words. You have to go where his words are written. That's how that works.
There's an official database of Dr. Gene. It's the agricultural database.
The RNA, the methionine, is it M-E-T-H-I-O-N-I-N-E? Is that in the RNA?
No, methionine is in our real line. The RNA drops have the trimethyl lysine and other things, but we make up the methionine.
It's in there, but it's in the triphosphate form. I have a product that has 22 mannas in it and also has 21 of the amino acids.
Manna? Don't use that word. We don't recognize it. We got the manna. You don't. So stop being silly.
I'll mute you,
William.
I have every super sugar on this planet in my product. Look, you can go to menofunderstanding.com and access your product today.
Ion, can you tell us the difference between the RNA and the mung bean ingredients?
Well, mung bean is just a bean. RNA has nothing to do with mung bean. Mung bean derivatives has anything to do with the mung bean at all. Mung bean
RNA drops are interdimensional. Our product is interdimensional.
They are, but they're not a mung bean, and they are not a super sugar. They are the super sugar. It's different.
The super sugar is an important factor in the ascension process for the RNA, which the mung bean probably doesn't have that.
We're not pushing against mung beans. We're saying if you like mung beans, eat a gallon of them. I mean, 100
Nobody
pounds.
Nobody likes them. They're nasty.
But they don't have anything to do with ascension or well-being. So if you like them, have all of them. Mm-hmm. They're great. But don't think they're going to do anything for you. Anything other than a big piece of steak won't do.
Ion, this new world that's in our solar system that's arrived this week.
VP-113?
I don't know the number, but yeah. We'll go with that.
Sorry, I don't know how we would access information, but anyhow. You must have been praying to Allah again.
Anyway, is there life on this planet?
Yes, there is.
Human creators?
Yes, they are humanoid.
Humanoids, are they gods?
Yes.
Did you say yes or no?
Yes.
I thought I muted William. Where the hell is William? I've muted two numbers. How did William speak in? He is all powerful.
It's an act of God.
William, by the hell,
I'm on
mute.
He's a God. He's a God.
He's a God. He bypassed the mute.
He's stronger than your mute, Bob.
Is this world going to be coming in closer? Or are we going to learn more about it?
It's going to come in closer, just as we said 3 years ago. Yes.
Will that shake up things here?
No more than are already accustomed to. You all of a sudden now lose a plane through a slipped portal and you've about sold your pennies already. You don't know how much more shake up you can stand without jumping off bridges. Oh, wait, they did it already, didn't they? Tony,
okay,
that
okay.
is. My sister's cat, Milo, she's had him for a good couple of years, and this whole time we've been fascinated by something that he does. Whenever I call her on the phone, he goes apeshit. He can't get close enough to the phone, and he purrs and meows, and he'll even come in from outdoors when I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think I figured this out today, what's going on there.
Do you want us to tell you? Here's what it is. Non-physical is a beast. We are not physical. We're all over you too, honey. We think you're just the most delicious thing we've ever bumped into, and it's the same way with us. So beast, being non-physical, would be drawn to the very vicissitude that is you. Even the conductivity on the telephone, it's very logical that a beast would respond. Maybe not all of them, but this particular beast does. Just because you click, it knows you. It knows your spirit. As God, it recognizes you.
It recognizes me as God.
Yes.
Because it's not physical, it always knew me. It knows me. We didn't ever have to meet.
You did meet. You did
meet.
Yeah,
well, we are met, right?
Well, no, but then, hold on, we're not being cheeky. You have met.
Really?
Of course.
You mean in the sense that it's non-physical and non-physical recognizes all?
No, in the sense that you saw that cat and it liked you then, too.
I don't have a memory of meeting this cat.
Good.
Did we meet in a future that Milo the cat remembers and I don't?
We say there's no time. So past, present, future is only now. So Milo, like us, doesn't recognize it as a timed event. But the interaction is a remembrance for Milo, but not for you yet. But yet now you know Milo. So when you do see Milo, will it be a bumping back into it, or will it be an exchange for the very first time? It already responds to you when you're on the telephone, already. So something's afoot here. And however wonderful and lovely you are, it ain't all that. Enough to make a beast come in from outside.
It ain't all that?
No. It's huge from the standpoint of getting you back to your place as God.
Well, this is fun.
It is fun. It's supposed to be.
Ian, this is my first time calling in.
We're glad.
You sound just like my best friend growing up in South Carolina. I feel like I know you.
Nice.
I started the RNA drops in December, about 3 months now. I have my dog on him also. He has cancer. The Renew was working really great for a month or so, and it seems to have stopped getting rid of the tumors.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, do I need to change something? He's getting the full complement of the products, just like I am.
Well, your beast mimics you. The only reason your beast would have any inclement is it gets it from you. Cats used to never get leukemia. until you all came up with it. Okay? So it's coming from a standpoint as an example for you.
Can the RNA drops in Renew cure this?
Well, we don't want to cure it. That's what you do to Virginia Ham. We'd say pack your beast in salt, and that'll cure your pet.
I'm not following what you said.
That curing is what you do to a Virginia Ham.
Can I do anything to eradicate this disease?
Well, okay, don't change a thing. Everything's fine. We're going to pick your words apart. We don't see cancer as a disease. Matter of fact, cancer is pretty astounding because you can't seem to get rid of it. You're God. If you look closer at what you call cancer, you might say it's the perfect cell. You can go into remission, but you can't seem to make it go away. It's an example of how you have the ability and capacity to embrace what you call cancer, or those cells, those aberrant cells. The only reason they're aberrant is because to a little man, they seem bigger than you. We're stretching here just a little bit because you weren't asking about all this. You were trying to say, hey, I want my pet to be happy and well.
Yes.
Well, your pet wants to go out of the top of its game, okay? And yet it's hanging around because of you.
Oh, he wants to go.
No, they all want to go out at the top of their game. They don't want liver transfers. They don't want chemotherapy. The point is that the reason that the pet's hanging around is because of you. And that's all right. Enjoy your pet. Love your pet. Your pet loves you.
Yes.
But notice that the product is helping your beast. But that's not the point. The point would be not to eradicate anything. It would be, what if your product made your beast in such a way that it could live with and embrace the cancer, and the dog carries on and carries on and carries on?
Okay. What do I need to change?
Nothing. Keep doing exactly what you're doing, and a little more protein. Because, you know, the eating is kind of finicky these days, yes?
Actually, he eats anything.
Good.
More
protein.
He's an eating machine.
More protein.
Does he need more RNA drops?
No, just a little in his water. It'll be fine.
I'm giving him about 30 to 40 drops a day. Is that too many?
That's more than is required.
You're saying if I give him more protein and continue what I'm giving him now, that should stop this progression?
Either way you go with this, it's not the right answer. Because it's not. It says, are you still beating your wife? Okay, will the RNA drops heal my dog? Well, you don't want to heal your dog. Will the RNA drops make my dog feel better? Yes. Will it keep my dog from leaving me? Well, that's up to you. Okay, because it's a beast. Is it something for me to do? Yes, if you want to do it, and we agree. Yes, your dog is benefiting from it. No, your dog does not require 30 drops a day. In the thirsty times, you could probably do, I guess if you did, that'd be a half a teaspoon. Okay, that's okay, but you could go even a little bit less. Or here's a good example. If you're looking for a benefit, take a day and don't give it to him and watch what happens. You'll see a huge decline. So the point is that it is helping, and you're saying, what do I do different? We go, well, nothing, everything is fine. But notice that the point of this lesson is so that you get a new experience of how to interact with this whole process.
Okay.
Your beast is trying to tell you something.
Am I taking too many drops? Is that a factor? I've gone up to 240 drops in a day.
Every day?
I mean, off and on, yes. I average about 150 or so, typically.
It's not about too much. You only require one drop, all right? But what happens is your body wants more. And what you're finding is that your body's responding. Okay, Bob went through that stage. He was drinking a bottle a day and all that. Carolyn laughed, and he took a bath and found out he used $10,000 worth of RNA drops to take a bath. And it was good. It was great fun. He enjoyed the bath. She said, now, good, you're going to take every one of those damn drops, just so you know. So be sure and save that bathtub full of RNA. Beyond that, it's not necessarily required. If you feel good, like we say, your body will crave it. You want to eat it, okay? And so you would, but don't feel as though that you are compelled to. You would engage it. It is good to you if it's pleasurable and the outcome and the benefit. Notice the shift in your body. Have you noticed a huge shift in your body?
Well, at first I did. I felt, you know, euphoria. But in the last month or so, I started putting on weight, and I want to sleep all the time.
Good.
Which
good.
I don't understand.
Oh, that's easy. You're absorbing more radiation.
Okay.
You know, your body's shifting and processing. Now, the sleeping is a downtime. It's a reset. It's a type of reset.
Okay.
But more is not necessary. A good teaspoonful a day will do you.
Okay. Am I starting on the process of ascension?
Oh, certainly. Most certainly.
Is there another product after RNA drops, Ion?
You should consider the Relight and the Realign and the Remag.
Yes, and me. What's your name?
This is Bob Bailey.
Okay, well, I'm a great product that comes after these ingredients.
Okay, oh, how do I take you?
That's exactly it. The sages of the world have been asking that question for John. How do we take Bob? That's exactly right.
Well, I get the re-Bob.
Sounds like you're going to have to make a redouble Bob, because if he's taking that many drops a bottle a day, that'll do you.
I'm going through about 3 re-Bobs a month right now. Yeah.
And like I say, a good teaspoonful should do well. But now, your weight shift, is your food cravings changing?
Yes, I suddenly like sweets, and I haven't for many years.
Good. What you want to do is you want to temper that. What you're looking for, your body's now start processing sugars better. So you would consume more sugars better, okay? So now don't eat tons of your sweets. Try different types of sweets. See which one satisfies.
Ion, I was wondering when this whole, now that we've got the whole Higgs boson thing happening, when the whole supersymmetry questions are unveiled, is there anything that scientists are going to miss that's really important about that question?
They're going to miss most of it.
What part does the neutrino play in it that they're going to have trouble with?
It's not the neutrino, it's the quark.
Is there a specific quark that hasn't yet been discovered?
No, the quarks show up before they are. But if they show up before they are, they can't be left.
The quarks do show up, but there are already some that have been named.
They've captured them, but they don't last. Because they're ahead of it. What they're missing and what you get that they're not going to get is trans-dimensions. Trans-dimensions are the part or particle-inhibited, particle-reciprocal positions within the ionosphere that allow matter to be disposed between worlds.
You've always said that the eyes have it. So, I mean, part of the issue that you've always said before is that...
We just told you how it's done. We've never told that before.
Okay. Well, I'm probably going to have to go back and listen to that. But what I'm trying to say is that...
You're going to make it in your past. You got to make it be in your past so you can embrace it from a future position. So when you figure out where it is, you'll know that you knew it then because of now.
Do you still agree that the theory of relativity needs to be reevaluated in order for them to get anywhere with all of this?
It has to, because it's wrong.
So is that the critical point at which all of their calculations break down in order to see the transdimensional reality? It's not going to happen until that's figured out.
No. You can even take it even when you start dispelling Newtonian rule. See? see, you can go that far. It's easy. You can go back to the resting soul of Galileo if you want to. That's where the fuckery began.
Can you describe what it was about Galileo?
Night vision, king of insight. His insight overflew his insight.
Yeah, he's oversight, the king of insight.
The king had more control, or the queen, actually, had more control of his predicated outcomes than his eyes.
He smudged his data because he didn't want to get his head chopped off. Is that what you mean?
Yes, of course, and that became the basis of what you call goddamn science today.
That's what I'm trying to get to, because it's obviously completely perplexing to most physicists.
It's not perplexing,
right?
It's flawed. And now your whole world up until here has been flawed. So now in a reset, that gets changed and obfuscated. Now all of a sudden, all the things change. Now it's kind of like, Nope. Back. And all of a sudden, new places.
They can, Sasha.
Better answer, what? Will we?
Will you describe then specifically what it was about that Galileo discovered that they didn't want to reveal for fear of having the head chopped off by the queen?
Pernition.
P-E-R-N-I-T-I-O-N. Pernition.
Pernition.
It says there's no such word as pernition in the English dictionary. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean,
harmful, damaging, destructive, injurious, hurtful, detrimental, delirious, dangerous, adverse, unhealthy, unfavorable, bad, evil, baleful, wicked, malign, malevolent, malignant, noxious, poisonous, corrupting.
As in pernicious?
As in pernicious, yeah.
So can you tell us a story about Galileo then, and what was really going on there?
He was more concerned with his hide than his science.
Can you tell us the story that was going on between him and the queen at the time?
He was well paid to be a seer of the stars. And he was in the house, in the castle. And he would go up and watch the night sky. And the queen took favor, and he could explain things by looking at the stars that were cyclical. And through the cyclical positions, it made quandaries for him to calculate. The queen was intrigued because it became the modality for the kingdom. Those words would move the people. A dark star is coming, and everybody would yield if the queen, through the king, could say, this is going to happen, so-and-so, and it would, because cyclically it always does. Then it became a place of power for the king in his throne.
What was it that Galileo was concealing?
Orbits, the way you slingshot orbits.
Is this where, when I was speaking earlier about Einstein, where you went back to Galileo, because you're talking about the way that space-time is bent by mass?
Not bent by mass, but it is bent. Study Galileo. Find out what they say Galileo said. And when you know what they say Galileo said, then you can compare that with what is now. And the things that they said, he said, that's not appropriate, that you're using as science today, also is still inappropriate.
Is there anywhere where his true findings are? Are they concealed somewhere?
Yes. Codex. It's for sale.
Hey, Bob, it's my birthday in August. Perhaps you could buy the codex, and then we can all share it. Because you've hung out with the Pope and everything, right? So that wouldn't be a problem.
Which one?
Not a problem. Not a problem.
He's got a couple of those popes with sticky fingers. They've been looting the Vatican vaults for years, darling. That's why we had to move Bob's library to his library now.
So, I mean, there would obviously be an awful lot to study about Galileo.
The five things that he supposedly did, five damn things, but set the world as we know it now that hasn't changed today. and see which one of those are false premises, and then that'll give you a good tale on how this white knuckle flight rocket ship ride is going to straighten the roads of Whaleville.
What specifically was it about Galileo that captured Einstein's attention and interest?
Money.
Was Einstein really all about the money?
Of course. Fame monster, like our Stephanie. We love it from Gaga.
What of the scientists that have deliberately been forgotten? Can you name a few that have kind of almost got it right?
Got it right or been forgotten?
Got it right. There's been loads that have been forgotten on purpose because perhaps they got it right.
Simeon Montauk.
From which timing?
1650.
What was his particular area of study?
Science.
Specifically astronomy or biology?
In the 1600s, you barely had animal husbandry. You didn't really have a biochem label. You didn't get that from non-physical. That you can find that information on Google.
Okay. I'll look up Simeon on the Google.
Now, you know, you remember your question. Your question is one that's been forgotten. So if it's been forgotten, you really think it's going to be on Google?
Well, no.
And we said to look up Google.
That was a slip on my part.
Scientists were available in the 1600s.
So that information is now completely, it's in its pure sense of being forgotten, it's gone.
Not necessarily, because you have the clouds.
Okay.
Now you need an energy source to access the clouds, so then you know.
Okay, I wonder who would have that energy source.
Is the shoebread the energy source?
No. It's what you put into your meat sack body.
Is there a way to access this energy source?
Ask Dr. Dean.
I've been wanting to say something as a follow-up to Bob's questions and his, you know, taking a rebob a day and all that. I think that falls into the level of the 1-2-3-ing or the 3-2-1-ing or whatever we do, where when you take your drops, then you have to allow them to work and not judge yourself every day that they're not working. Because I think what I see sometimes in patients and clients is that they look upon the RNA drops as another medicine, and more is better, or if something's not quite right, well, let's just take more, instead of going to the 3-2-1 and saying, okay, one is relax and allow and let it work and allow myself to have it work in, you know, ways that I never thought possible, develop the miraculous about what you're doing. So I think the energy of what we're looking at here is finally triggered by our own ability to allow as much as possible. And we're the limitation.
Is the mind the limitation?
It's the limitor.
Is our goal to reset our mind?
No.
You
the mind has to get
it.
Out of it.
Right. Get out of it. It's not a thinking man's game.
And by doing that, we just allow ourselves to
become autonomic. Create. Well, you already create. You created all these rules and things that you created the disconnection that's causing this conversation.
See, part of the problem with science is that it made us doubt ourselves, where we have to get some outside agency validating everything for us.
All that science does is try to say that what is created is not. That's all it does. It's the study of disproving everything. And when science cannot disprove something, then science says it is. But the only way science can say something is if they can't prove that it isn't. If you do the math on that research, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to prove that it is not. And if they can prove it is not, then it's not. But if they can't, then it is. Seems quite counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Should we ignore science?
We should ignore anything that you're thinking about.
But yet, the interesting thing, though, Alan, is that this forum got me interested in all of these types of subjects that I never would have heard before.
The difference is you don't think about them, you now engage them. There's difference
yes.
in it. You don't lay and pine and wonder and, oh, wouldn't it be fun if I could go see Galileo and see where he fucked up and blah, 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 blah. Well, but see, you can do that. And so if you can do it and you're engaging it, that's not thinking about it. That's doing it.
For me, if I'm looking into particle physics, for example, what I find really interesting is that the topics that you brought up for me over the years suddenly start to
light up.
Seem
light up.
They do. 100%.
And they show up. And they show up.
Yeah.
And well.
Yeah.
And you don't have to think about those things. They just show up. Yes?
I don't.
Go back and listen to your words in those days.
Yeah. God, no, don't make me. It's horrible.
Yeah. Indeed. 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 And now all of a sudden, you're a quasi-intelligent conversationalist. You can actually engage.
I don't know if I would agree with that because perhaps I would have thought that 4 years ago when I was listening
to
that
minus 4 years
ago.
You know, Bob's
my God.
Coming along with you, baby. Bob's coming. He ain't on CKLN anymore. He's all right.
It's really, really quite remarkable. For example, I was saying to a friend of mine the other day about the Malaysia flight, God, it's crazy. You know, where's it going? I was like, it's in a parallel world. And they're like, what the fuck? You're fucking crazy. It's all parallel world.
And then the newspaper comes out full page. Apparently the plane has shifted into a parallel world. Apparently the plane has entered into a vortex anomaly.
I wish they would say that tomorrow.
They do.
That'd be brilliant.
They did. 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 They did.
Google it, find that title, and show it to your friend.
Oh, like I was saying, I was like, oh, yeah, I was in a parallel world. And they were like, oh, that doesn't fucking exist. And I was like, well, have you ever actually looked into quantum physics? Did you know that an electron can exist in two places at the same time? No. Well, that's just a tiny, weeny little thing. and I'm like, but so what you're trying to say is that a plane is not a tiny little thing? No, because it's got 250 passengers on it. It's a fucking huge, massive vessel. It's metal. It's engines. There's like the FBI. Exactly. Exactly. And this is so fucking funny to me. Like, I'm like, okay, so what you're trying to say is an electron is a tiny, weeny little thing that can exist in two places, but a plane is not. And they're like, I was like, but what if a plane's really tiny? Oh, no. No, no. Oh, no. Planes are huge.
Well, it's relative. What if the universe that the plane is riding in is so vast that it becomes enveloped inside it? Do you realize if you're trying to make your hips smaller, if you make your shoulders broader, your hips appear smaller when the hips are the same size?